We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message. When I was in Tampa at Bible school, our youth pastor, he would always have us do something, and I was thinking that we should probably do it tonight. So he always had us repeat this thing after him. So being the kids' church teacher, I like repeating things too. So you guys are going to repeat after me, okay? Say, my G-O-D is B-I-G. I think you guys can do a little bit better. Come on. Give me a little louder, right? Okay, so my G-O-D is B-I-G. Awesome. Okay. You know, it's just good to remember that we serve a really big, big, good God. So, you know, what's crazy is, like, if you really stop to think about how big he is, like how your brain can't really, I don't know about you, but if I think about how big God is, like sometimes my brain just like goes into tilt, like, he's so big and I can't even grasp it. Like, if like you think about the universe that he created, and it's just crazy to think like, okay, he's really big and he can really do really big things and he's really great too. And like the craziest thing about how big he is that even though he's so big, like he cares about the details in my life and like in your life, like the small things, like he cares about that. And I don't know about you, but that's enough to just like make my mind explode a little bit there. So anyways, this big God, I want to talk about how he is the God of more. So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians 3, we are going to start in 16. This is probably one of my favorite passages just because it's all full of goodness. So that's Ephesians 3, 16. Say amen if you're there. Okay. All right. I'll give you one more minute. Awesome. Okay, now we're all there. Good. So Ephesians 3:16, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in your inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself dwelling in your innermost being. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, and make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth, the height, the length, the depth of it, that you may really come to know, practically through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all of your being unto all the fullness of God. May you have the richest measure of his divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now this is the part that I really want to focus on tonight, verse 20. Now to him who, by the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, and dreams. To him be all the glory. So, yeah. You know, I wrote in my notes, can I get an amen? But you guys already amen, so I don't even need to ask. You know, I call him the God of more because when you read this, that's what he is. That's who he is because he is able to do superabundantly, or in other words, more, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. In other words, that's more as well. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. All of those things are explaining more, just in really great vocabulary. But it also says in Corinthians 2:9, which I'll just read it so you don't have to go there, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So from those two verses, we see that we can dream the greatest dream, and yet we cannot outdream God. We can have the like most impossible, most spectacular thing that we can come up with, and it's not impossible for God. We have like an idea of great, but then God has an idea of more. And I have a really good example of this. Some of you guys know that recently we purchased our first home, and I had been praying about a house for a long time because I was in our house all day, every day with those kids, and I was getting a little stir crazy. It was a big blessing when we had the house that we had, but we were just outgrowing it, as you should. You should grow and multiply. So we were outgrowing it, and I was just praying. It was a big desire in my heart. And this house came on the market, and it was on Woodchuck Alley, which Brian has always wanted to live on Woodchuck Alley. And so he's like, we got to go see this house. And this house had everything that we had said that we wanted in this house. It had it all. And so we go to this house, and I'm thinking, could the Lord do this? This is like the dream house. Could this be what the Lord had? Like, and so we prayed about it, and we're like, Lord, we give it to you. And the thing is, when the house went online, like some point during the week, I think Wednesday, and they were having the open house on Saturday. So we go to the open house, and there's like 20 people in this open house, and we're just like, okay. Like, and so we were like, okay. So we put in an offer, and we even went like above asking price because we knew that there was a lot of interest in this house, and it was a nice house. And it was like a Sunday morning that we put in the offer. So we're like in church, and we're like, I don't know, like, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. Like, and in my head, I'm like, this is the perfect house. And then we get a call that night that there were 7 offers put in, and there was a cash offer that was above ours that they accepted. And I was like super bummed. Like, to be honest, I was like, Lord, I don't understand. Like, this was the perfect house. You know, this was everything that we had asked you for. This is everything we were believing for. And I was like super bummed about it because I like had my faith out there. You know, I was like, yeah, like, they may have money, but we have you. You know, that's how I was feeling. Like, I was like, we're going to get this house. And so I was bummed about it. And so keep looking at houses. And we would look at some, and I would always have this other house, like, in the back of my head. So I was praying, and I was like, Lord, I don't want the house that we get to be, like, a house that we settle on. Like, that I'm always going to have this dream house that we never got in the back of my head. Like, that doesn't seem right. That's not you, Lord. And anyways, so we are looking at houses still, and this other house comes online, and I like jokingly sent it to Brian. I was like, we should offer, you know, this for it because it was priced higher, and he like laughed about it. And then our realtor is like, you should go see this house. And I realized that every week they were like dropping the price on it, and I was like, oh, well, like, just go look at it, you know. So we go to look at this house, and I walk in the door, and I literally just start laughing. Because it's big, like really a lot bigger. Like, because we were never specific on how big the house should be. We were like, you know, we want 4 bedrooms, 5 would be nice because we've got kids, and, you know, and we wanted a place for family to stay. And we had like a certain amount of acreage that we liked because our kids wanted to go outside. And Brian was driving a long way to work, so we wanted it halfway to work, preferably close to the parkway. We had all of these things that were desires. And so, and like that previous house had met all those things. So then we go to this house, and I'm just laughing because it's just big. It's just really big. And that was never anything that we said. We were never like, we want a big house. We want. So we're just looking at each other, and, you know, we talked about it later. And so we put an offer on this house, and they, you know, we got the house. And the craziest thing to me, I'm going somewhere with this, is that this house is within 10 minutes of the house that we had looked at a few months prior. And this house we paid the same amount that we put in an offer for the previous house was what we paid for this house. Yet this house is twice the square footage, 3 times the acreage, and it's even closer to the parkway, so it's even a better drive for Brian to get to work. And Every single time I'm in that house, like I'm doing dishes and I'm looking out the window, and I'm just in awe of the Lord, because what I thought was great, he had more. Like, this goes above. Like, it checks off everything and then some. And I had this idea of great, and then he had this idea of more. And the thing that's crazy is, even though that this house was 10 minutes from that house, no one was really coming to see it. I'm like, Lord, you hid this house, because there were 20 people at that other house. And we were like, oh, seven offers. And yet we get to put an offer in lower than asking price and get it. Like, so that's just like a real life example of how sometimes we think something's great, but then God has something better, because that's just who he is. He's never going to give you something that's worse. That's not who we serve. And I think one of the greatest examples of that in the Bible is salvation. Like, we think, okay, God, he took all my sins and made a way for me to get to heaven. And that in and of itself is great. But the thing is that at salvation, at the cross, it didn't stop at just your sins forgiven. Like, when he died on the cross, he also was giving you victory in this life and in the next life. And he gave you all authority. And he gave you health. And he gave you prosperity. You see, like, he's the God of more. Like, so many times we settle for, like, oh, my sins are forgiven and all is going to be great when I go to heaven. But he's like, no, no, like, I did more. I want you to have more. I want you to walk in victory. I want you to have, like, the Bible says that he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So there's, like, there's more to God. And it doesn't matter, like, how long you've been saved, because I've pretty much been saved all my life, and I'm still finding that there's more. Every step of the way, the Lord is showing me, hey, guess what? It's bigger. It's greater. There's more. And that's what he has. And that's not just for me. Like, that's what he has for all of us. And, you know, some of we might think, like, I've got this dream, but I don't really know how it's going to work, and I don't really know the details. But God made you with a purpose, and he put those dreams inside of you. And I have never read once in the Bible where God put a dream inside of someone so that they could fail or so that it couldn't be fulfilled. That's never the case with him. If he gave you a calling, he wants to see you fulfill it. You may not be able to do it on your own. You may need him, because that's how things work, but that's what he has. Every time in the Bible, he calls you victorious. He calls you from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from victory to victory, from this to more, to more, to more. See, he's the God of more, who always has more. Until you breathe your last breath, there's more. Now, that doesn't mean that challenges won't come, because they will. Like, I think it's Jonathan Shuttlesworth who says that it's scriptural to be challenged, but not scriptural to be defeated, or something along those lines. I think I messed it up a little. Sorry, Jonathan Shuttlesworth, if you ever listen to this message. But along those lines, and what it means by that is that even though something may come to face, come against you, come, you know, come, and it looks like you're not really sure what to do, there are promises that you could stand on, because the Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't say that a weapon won't be formed against you or even fired at you, but it's not going to prosper, is what it says. That's Isaiah 54, 17, if anyone needed that. And then it also says that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him. Romans 8, 28. So even the things that it looks like it's not going to work, I don't know, he works it all together for the good, always, because that's what he says. Now that I got you guys, like, with me about serving a big God who wants more for you, something that, you know, we serve a big, big God, and nothing's impossible to him, but he's also, like, incredibly smart and very, very practical. So, like, Pastor Jeremiah has said it a few times, that normally there's, like, two ditches on the road, and, like, our job is to stay in the middle road here. So there are two ditches on this road that I'm going to talk about. On one side of the ditch, you've got oh, I serve a big God and nothing's impossible for him. So I'm just going to sit down and let him rain all these blessings on me and I'm going to not do anything. I'm going to do diddly squat because he can do it all. And that's not really the case, because we see that we're called to do something. When we read God's word, there's always action to be taken, and that's what he expects from you. See, when the Bible says, when we seek, we find God. When we knock, the door is open. When we pray, he hears, but he can't answer if we're not asking. And he can't bless the work of our hands if we're not working. And he can't multiply or bring a harvest to a seed if it's not sown. So there's always action required on our part. In order to get the promise, you got to do the conditions. So there's that ditch where I don't have to do anything and I'm just going to believe God and not do anything, which is the one ditch. And then you got the ditch on the other side, which is I'm going to do everything in my own power. I'm just going to go, and I'm going to do it in my own strength, and I'm just going to plow through it and just keep going. And that's also, you know, the extreme. But with God, there's like this really great balance, this middle of the road, where action is required, yes, and you do all you can do in the natural, but then you also believe God to do what only he can do. And then that's like the sweet spot. You want to be doing something, but you also want to be believing. You want word to stand on, but you also want to put action in. And Pastor Jeremiah talks about it all the time, that faith requires action and faith pleases God. So we got to be doing. See, in Bible school, they used to say it like this. We pray like it all depends on God, and then we get up and do like it all depends on us. There's a parable, and for time's sake, I'm not going to go read all of it, but it's in Matthew 25, and it's 14 through 30, and it's the parable of the talents. Just to summarize, there's three people, and they're given talents. One is given five, one is given two, and one is given one talent. And this, I guess, ruler, I don't remember exactly the wording, goes, and he's coming back. And when he comes back, he goes to the person with the five talents. And the person has multiplied it and now has 10 talents. And they say, well done, good servant. You know, I've given to you, you've multiplied. And then he goes to the person with the two. And the two is also multiplied. Well done. And he goes to the one with the one. The one with the one had buried his talent and not done anything with it. And he rebukes him. And he says, you like slothful servant, you could have at least like given it to the bank and then I would have had interest. But he didn't. He didn't do anything. And what's crazy is then he takes the talent from the one that did nothing and gave it to the one who had five but now has 10. So the one who had the most and had done the most, he gave more. So I think that's a great example of this middle of the road that I'm talking about. You could sit and do nothing and say, oh, I know who you were. I know that you sow where you don't reap, and so I just sat and I did nothing. Or you could get going and do it, and then as you're doing, God gives you even more. So many times in his word, we see that as we're faithful with the little, he gives us more, right? So in other words, we got to give the Lord something to work with. We got to give the Lord something to bless. So our job is to get in the presence of the Lord. Our job is to get with him in prayer and find out, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it you have for me to do? And then we have to get into the word and we have to see what the promises are. We have to see what the action is that he tells us to take. We have to see what the word says who we are. And then we take all of that knowledge and we add action with it, and then we get ready. Because when we do all of that and we add the action with it, then big things are going to happen because we serve a big God, and that's what he says. You see, it's like baking a cake almost, and you've got ingredients, and the Lord is telling you what to do and what ingredients to put in to get the desired results. So it's like you take the word and you see the word and you see what you want from the word. Like, I want, you know, to prosper. So I'm going to see what the word says. And the word says that he'll bless the work of my hands. So I'm going to find work to put my hands to. And then when you do that, when you have word to stand on, and then you take action upon the word, then when you pray, you can go boldly before the Lord because you know that you're doing what the word says. And he says to put him in remembrance of his word. So you can go and you can pray a prayer like this. Lord, this is what I'm believing for. This is what your word said. The word says that you'll bless the work of my hand, that everything I put my hand to will prosper. So, Lord, I'm putting my hand to this thing that I feel that you have called me to do. And I thank you, Lord, that you bless it and that it prospers. And you can go boldly and have faith to stand on. And the Lord says, ah, I can work with that. You know, I can do that. I can bless that. So with our big, big God that we serve and whom nothing is impossible and how he's the God of more, we have to remember that we also have action required with that. So that was the gist of what I wanted to get across to you guys tonight. But there's also another area in which I wanted to talk about where God is the God of more, and that's in our finances. You know, the Bible says that he is the God, he is more than enough, he has more than what you need. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9:7, we're going to start there. I think I said 1 Corinthians, but I meant 2 Corinthians, my mistake. 2 Corinthians 9:7. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read it. And it says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above all things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you're always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Now let's skip down to verse 10. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, with which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus, you will be enriched in all things and in every way, so that you can be generous, and that your generosity, as it is administered by us, will bring forth thanksgiving to God. See, there are a few things that I wanted to point out in this. It says, let everyone give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. See, when we give to the Lord, we should do it with purpose. We should have our mind made up and do it with purpose. We shouldn't do it based off whoever is there or, you know, it should be you're bringing a gift unto the Lord, and it always goes unto the Lord. No matter whose hand you're physically giving to it, it should be as if we're giving to the Lord. And it says that he takes pleasure in and prizes above all things and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving. I don't know about you, but I want that description to be me. I want the Lord to be unwilling to do without me because I'm prompt to do it and joyous in my giving to him. And then after that, it says he is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come on you in abundance. Remember, abundance is not a little, right? That's more, right? And so that you always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. So it starts out about him about when we give, and he's making you self-sufficient, right? So that you have all of your needs. But then it's just like God. It starts out with your needs being met. Now let's go to verse 10. And it says, and God who provides seed for the sower, and bread for eating will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Thus you will be enriched in all things and in every way so that you can be generous. So it starts with our needs being met. And that's a great thing. And that's a great thing for the Lord to do. But like I said, he's the God of more. So not only does he want your needs to be met, he wants you to be so abundant that you start being able to meet the needs of others. See what I mean? Like it starts out like, and it's fine because you can't meet the needs of others and like have no food at the table at your house. So you start with your needs being met. But then from there, God has even more. Like don't just settle at your needs being met, but think of the more that he wants to do. How your acts of generosity, it says here, your acts of generosity as it is ministered will bring forth thanksgiving to God. Like so many times in Bible school, I would hear stories about like this person got blessed with like $1,000 or, you know, sometimes they did those church handshakes where like you get a handshake and there's like a little bit of money in there. I don't think I ever got a church handshake, and I don't think I ever got like a huge chunk of money, just like the Lord told me to give this to you. Like that never happened. And I was like, man, that kind of stinks. But then like I thought about it and I was like, yeah, all of my needs were always met, always met. And I was able to be generous and to be a giver. And then I was like, well, how great would it, like the Lord just kind of like, you know, makes your brain think greater. And he's like, how great would it be if you're the one who's then giving the large check and causing someone else to praise the Lord, like being the answer to someone else's prayer. And I was like, oh, okay, let's go there. Let's, instead of like being jealous that someone else got the need, let's like go bigger to where I can help meet the need of someone else. And that's like, that's the God we serve. He's got more. He's got greater for you. And if we read, I think it's in Luke, it talks about when we sow that it comes back to us like pressed down, shaken together and running over. And I was thinking about that, like when something's pressed down, for example, the garbage can at my house, if I want to make room for more, you just press down what's in there, right? And then all of a sudden there's room for more. Or like if you're like filling a container and you kind of like shake it a little bit, like the stuff all kind of settles and you got room for more. And then running over is obviously more because it can't even hold it. And that's what God says when you sow, that you'll reap pressed down, room for more, shaken together, so even more, and then you're going to get even more that runs over and spills onto others. So the God that is a God of more is the God of more than in every area, anything you can imagine. He wants you to dream big, and he wants to do more in your life than you can ever imagine. He also wants you to sow big, and he wants to do more in your finances than you could ever imagine. Anything that we give to the Lord always comes back better. Always comes back better. The harvest is always bigger than the seed sown. And he promises that anything sown will reap a harvest because that's what his word is. See, his word doesn't return void. It has to do what it says. He honors his word above his name. So I said all that so that you guys could be encouraged tonight, because I know in this room that there's people believing God for big things. I know in this room we've got people who have sown seeds who are ready for a harvest to come in. And I just want to encourage you that even though the Lord has done great, there's even greater. And even though your dreams, maybe you haven't even seen them come to pass yet, but they will, and then greater. And maybe you're believing God for a certain harvest, and it'll come, and then greater. There's always more with the Lord, always. But then we also have to remember to do our part. And the best thing we could do is find a scripture and stand on it. So be encouraged with that, that whatever you're believing for, find it in the Word, do what it says, and then let God do what only He can do.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.